And it's also yours. Tell somebody else it's yours too. God don't play favorites. That's right. Although at times you don't feel like you got the victory, you've got the victory. Amen. God is so, so, so good. Amen. I'm just trying to. God sometimes just puts it on you right at the moment. Well, he's putting it right on at the moment. So here it goes. So. All right, get your Bibles out. Some of this is fresh off the press, and some of it's off the press from yesterday and this morning. God is so awesome. Praise God. Bethany is doing better, y'all. It's still a rough battle. She's had her first treatment. Last week, she had the immunotherapy. And the first day was great because they had all the steroids. And then when it quit on Tuesday, it quit hard. Matter of fact, it weren't a quit. It was a slam the door in the face. Amen. But she started cracking the door open a little bit yesterday. And last night, she can't hold meals down. She had me to hold a meal down. But last night, she wanted a steak. So I cooked a steak on the grill. And it wasn't a mistake. It was a steak. And she ate part of it. But whatever she ate, she held down. Amen. So that was good. Amen. And that's right. That's right. So if I have to cook steak on the grill every night, well, oh, well, there are worse things. I could have to cook butter beans every night. Amen. It takes place whenever we have to kind of play it by her. I mean, Bethany sets the schedule at this moment. Amen. Pray for her because tomorrow she gets some more MRIs on her spine. And then Tuesday all day we're going to be in Greenville in the morning. So praying for her because we have to go to cancer clinics and all kinds of things. But Bethany is one of the strongest young ladies I've ever met in my entire life. And I thought I had faith and I thought I could stand up and smile in the worst of things. But like I told somebody the other day, I said some people, if they got the diagnosis Bethany did, they go ahead and pack their bags and sleep on the steps of the funeral home. And Beth keeps saying, 10-word prayer, Dad. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I hear that about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. Amen. And I hear this too. God's got this, Dad. God's got this. Amen. And so when I tell her she's got deep, she says she can. I said, God's got this. Amen. Get your Bibles out. This is going to be kind of a wild sermon. Some of y'all going to look at it and think, did he take a picture at our house last night? Was he living in our back room for the last week or two, or maybe for the last month? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you can't find Hebrews, turn to Matthew and head toward Revelation. When you get close to Revelation, when you hear the Revelation start squeaking, you're getting close. How many in here have a perfect life? Raise your hand. How many in here never have any problems? How many in here everything always goes according to plan? I like what Jeannie's got in her office there. It says, just because you have pain doesn't mean you have to be one. That's cool. That's right. I've quoted that to Bethany just a couple of times. Bethany, just because you got pain, you ain't got to be one. She says, I'm not, Dad. Okay. Ready? Hebrews chapter 12. Look at her laughing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Stand for the reading of the word. It's very short. One sentence. Now, this was taken so out of context in the old-time Pentecostal that, honestly, I always missed what it was saying until I decided to start looking up the Bible for myself and reading it and studying it. And after a lot of studying, after getting through a lot of stuff, I have found out This is so powerful. This is one of the most powerful verses in the scripture. And if we'll pay attention to it, we can really make a difference for us. Amen. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. Father, I know, God, that you've got all things together. You are able in all things. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in such a way that we'll know, God, that we have been with you, Lord. And we'll know, Lord, that you've got our back. And we know, Lord, that we can live a life that pleases you. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And church said, on the way down, get somebody a high five, low five, no five. 4.5, 4.25, whatever you got, go ahead and get more. Tell them God loves you. You can be seated. You know, y'all gonna like this. I see marriage is agreeing with you. Look at that. I won't say that one again. Look, just we'll back her up. What? Here you go. I'll give you the whole thing there. I see the nurse is talking to the man in the bed. I see marriages agreeing with you. How many? Like, I ain't heard any amens. I saw some people looking real funny. I saw some going, well, like this, they went, amen. Well, this, y'all think I'm talking about wedding or marriage. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about all relationships. I'm talking about relationships with you and your wife. I just love that picture. That was just awesome. I'm talking about the relationship between you and your wife, the relationship between you and your children, relationships between you and your spouse, your employer, your coworkers, your neighbors. This is something that's going to help you talk to anybody, anytime, anywhere. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Of course, holiness is to be like God. It's to be sanctified, set apart for use for God. All right, it's not talking about if you're wearing ear bobs and if you got on shirt sleeves down to here. No, just throw that stuff out the window. Because when that was written, a lot of times the priests wore skirts. Amen? So let's just leave that alone, okay? What it is, watch this. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The word holiness means to be set apart for his purpose, to show the world that you're set apart for his purpose, that you are sanctified and holy unto him. And if you're not, then the world cannot see the Lord in you. Plus, watch this, it says follow peace with all men. The word follow means to run after, to chase after peace with all men. That word peace is not just you and somebody else is getting along. Watch this. That word is eirene, which means to bind together that which has been separated. It's what it's actually a medical term. It means to set a broken bone. It means literally to piece back a piece of broken skin and sew it back together. So it is a medical term of healing. So follow peace. Chase after healing with all men and with all men and women. And you do it in such a way that pleases God. Wow. That's a whole different way to look at that scripture, isn't it? You seek your best to follow healing with all people, to heal relationships, but at the same time, you do it in such a way that it glorifies God. Follow peace with all men in holiness. You make sure that when you do this, it pleases God. If I come up behind you and I see you, I don't think you're living right, and I beat you with a hammer, I'm not following peace, number one. Number two, that is not holiness. Amen? Nobody's going to see God in it. They may see stars, but they're not going to see God. So it's important that we understand this principle. So, you know, this is pretty cool. A man passed by a cage at the zoo, and he noticed in the cage there was both a large lion and an active monkey. He saw a zoo worker nearby and asked, how does that work, having both a lion and a monkey in the same cage? He says, works okay for the most part. He said, do they ever not get along? He says, every once in a while that happens. That happens, and what you do? He said, we get a new monkey. Think about it. Every once in a while, they don't get along, and so what we do, the monkey's dead, we're just going to grab another one, amen? And so there's a lot of people in this world today, you just want to go ahead and trade in your wife, or trade in your children, or trade in your job, or trade in whatever, because things are not going the way you think they should, And if I trade it, things are going to get better. Well, I've talked to hundreds of people that come to me and told me, I thought if I could just change my wife or change my job or change whatever, things would get better. And it didn't get better. They got worse. And not only did it get worse, now, and all of this, now I've got regret because I shouldn't have messed up and threw it all away, because if I'd held on to it, maybe things had got better. So here goes. Watch this now. Follow peace with all men. Run to bring peace, to set a bone, to stitch up a relationship. Whatever you can to make a relationship work. Did I say you stand in an abusive relationship? No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying in a normal relationship with your workers, your co-workers, whatever, with your spouse, with your children, then in a normal situation, I'm not talking about abnormal, then you do your best to bring peace into that relationship. Or you can be like the zookeeper who just keeps putting monkeys in the cage with the lion. Amen? So I'm going to give you some principles. Matter of fact, let me ask you a question here. This is a pretty cool question. You see, there's a piece of the puzzle. People are standing together. How would you like to see a positive difference in any and all of your relationships? Any and all. That's pretty broad, isn't it? Any relationship and all relationships. How would you like to see a positive difference in every last one of them? You know, it's been amazing to me. We have met some amazing friends. We've had an awesome time at the Cancer Center in Greenville. And we have met a lot of wonderful, wonderful people. And everybody's so up, and it's just such an awesome place. And everybody seems to really, really care. And we've made a lot of good relationships with some people. And I mean, it's got to where people come out and step out behind the desk and come to us, shake our hands and love on us and say, man, I'm glad to see you today. You know, inside I'm thinking, I wish I weren't here. But on the outside, I'm saying, you know what? And I tell them, I'm going to have to be here. I want to make the most of it. And I want God to get glory out of it. Amen. So now, watch this now. The way you communicate, I love that. Can you see that picture? It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I want y'all to pay attention. He took some bullets and wrote, I'm sorry, on it. How is that apology going to be accepted? Is that going to be received good? If I got to wear a bulletproof vest for you to tell me how you're sorry, I don't want you talking to me. If I've got to live in such a way that I've got to be afraid, or the way you say it, like, dear, is everything okay? Have you got a problem? No, I ain't got a problem. How's things going? It's all going good. Can't you tell? It's not what you say. I've heard people tell me, well, I told him I was sorry. Oh, like that? Sure, that really went over well. Let me see. Have you got any finger? You got any pliers you can pull out his fingernails while you're telling him? Amen. It's not what you say; it's how you say it. Look at somebody and tell them that. Here's your chance to tell somebody this. Because the preacher told you to tell him. You might have wanted to tell somebody this for a long time. Find the person you wanted to tell, and here it is. Ready? All right, look. It's not what you say; it's how you say it. Tell somebody else. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Amen? Now, don't you feel better? Amen. Really? So watch this now. Communication can be negative or it can be positive. Do you know that? Sometimes it's negative and positive in the same conversation. You know, like, I really like your work, but I'm firing you. You like my work, but you're firing me. Okay, that was positive and negative. A whole lot more negative than positive. Amen. All right, here we go. I want you to watch this now. When you have, and this is with anybody, your spouse, your co-workers, your children, when you have negative communication with them, number one, it is very discouraging. I wrote down cannibal beside it. What does a cannibal do? He eats up people. I mean, what? Remember Beetlejuice and that little thing standing beside Beetlejuice or the people when they're waiting in line and that little guy had his head shrunk. Cannibals had got a hold of him. Amen? When we begin to use negative communication, it gets very discouraging as a cannibal, because it begins to eat away peace. It eats away hope. It eats away trust. It eats away so many things because it is a cannibal. You cannot constantly take out your 30-aught or your 30-06 or your 38 special, load it full of bullets that have sorry written on it, shoot people, and expect everything to be okay. It is not going to work. So here goes. So it's a cannibal. Known as a cannibal, distrust. Now when people talk to you, they have a kind of caution. There are certain people when I talk to, I always kind of talk to them honestly. They may not see it on the outside, but on the inside, I'm doing this. Y'all got people like that? Because, you know, at any time, they could disrupt like a volcano and just spew lava on you. So you kind of like this. So negative is a cannibal. It causes you to be very cautious when you talk to these people. It causes disharmony because now you really can't communicate. Communicate is two-way communication, two-way information transfer. That's what communication is, two-way information transfer. It is a dialogue. And so in order for the dialogue, the two-way communication to work, then there has to be two ways. And if you're screaming at me, if you're beating me down, if you can't say anything good to me, I can promise you, you can talk to me. I might look at you and I might smile, but on the inside, I have already shut down. I know I'm the only one in here like this. Try it sometime. When your spouse is laying you out, when you're laying them out, when you're laying somebody else out, or you're like, look, and you're sitting there talking to them, and you know what they've done? They've done shut the door. You're talking and talking and talking. They ain't heard a word you said because they shut the door. It's called self-preservation. They have decided to psychologically preserve themselves. And so mentally and psychologically, they shut down to prevent any further damage. Okay? Now, watch this. It also causes disruption because, look, once the cannibal starts eating, then, as the cannibal's eating, I start being cautious. Now, as I start being cautious, pretty soon communication breaks up. And it's not going to be long before communication just ceases. Don't even talk to me. I don't even want to talk to you. I know you've never heard anybody say that to you, have you? You've never said that to anybody else, I'm pretty sure. So when you see this stuff going on, and you know what's going on, you need to go back to that scripture. Follow peace with all men. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I need to do my best to stitch it up. Do my best to do CPR. Do my best to bail out the boat, to bring out the stitches. And do it in a way that pleases God. So, watch this. Positive, now it's encouragement. Because when positive, you're talking positive, now you kind of feel kind of good inside when you're talking to somebody. You're trying to figure out a problem. You're trying to get something going, whatever. You got this problem between two of you. You got a problem at a job or in your family. As you begin to open up positive and talk to each other, first there's encouragement. As long as there's encouragement, but there's also, I got a little happy there, trigger happy. There's trust versus distrust. There's harmony. And instead of disruption, there's connection. Have you ever said stuff about certain people, I just connect with them? Do you know why you connect with them? It's because they encourage you. You trust them. There's harmony, and it builds a connection. It's very important to remember this. We're all so busy thinking about what the other person did that we don't realize a lot of this we have a lot of control over. Amen? I got more control over what I'm going through or how I handle it. I can't control what I'm going through, but I can control how I handle it. 10% is what I'm going through. 90% is how I handle it and respond. So I've got the bigger role in this. Okay, so now let's go through this. I'm only going to do five principles today for two reasons. One for time, and two, I don't know if you can handle more than five at a time. Ready? Look at this man say, he's just joking. Look at this man say, no, he ain't. All right, here you go. Principle number one. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his head, or his heart, so, not his head, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Remember I told you about the heart was? It was your mind, your emotions, It was your courage. So it's all of you. So as a man thinketh in the heart, so is he. Meaning, you may talk about me, you may say about me, but until he gets to my heart, I don't have to believe it. Amen? You know, do you know that the mighty elephant is held? Have you ever been to the circus? We have. You look at the circus or seen on television, the mighty elephant is held by one band around his back foot with one little chain tapped in the ground. They use that elephant to build the tent. They use that elephant to take the tent down. But that one elephant is held by that one itty-bitty chain. You know why it's held by that chain? Because when it was younger and could not move it, now make it just like this, look, and pull that chain up. But when it was younger, that chain was put on it when it couldn't move. And so until it could move, every day it was put on that chain and trained to believe it could not get out of that train, that chain. And what happened is when it got old enough to be able to get out of it, it was already in its head that it couldn't get out. So here's the elephant. It can take up the tent, take down the tent. I mean, Hannibal used it to cross the mountain, scared the guys half to death. So much amazing things to be done. So it's like having a bulldozer and a crane all at one time. But it's held by that little bitty thing because in its heart, it thinks it can't do it. Some of y'all in here have got some itty bitty chains holding you down. Wow. Itty bitty chains. But in your heart, you think you can't get out of it. And because of that, you live a life. I want to move forward, God, but I got this thing holding me back. I want to move forward. And God says, all you got to do is trust me. The 10-word prayer, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So now, here we go. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me tell you a little secret here. You might not have thought of this. I want you to think of it today, and I want you just to come in here with a clean slate and an open mind, and I want you to think about something. Watch this. Principle number one, we see people through our own lens. Have you ever seen two or three of your friends here, and somebody comes up, and one person automatically likes him, and one person automatically dislikes him, one person even hates him, and another person's just falling down at his feet, and you wonder why? Is there so many differences of response? He acted the same all at one time to all of us. One of us likes him. One of us is falling down at his feet. One of us does look like him. One pure hates him. Why? Because we see people through the lens of our own heart. And because we see people through our own eyes, it's very possible that you've got problems with people that you should not have problems with. You've got problems in wherever, in your home, on your job, in church, wherever. You've got problems, but it's not problems to everybody else, but it's to you. And why is it problems? Because you see everything through the filter of your own heart, mind, eyes. And so watch this. Watch this. This is good stuff. It'll make you grow. The way you see yourself and the way you see your life, watch this, shapes how you see and relate to others. How I see myself. If I'm held down, I expect you to be held down by the same thing that's holding me down. You have no right to pull up that chain that's around your ankle. You should be like me. You should be tied to the tent by the ankle. Well, who do you think they are? Or if there's somebody that's got a personality close like yours, and all of a sudden they start doing like you would normally do, here it goes again. You're looking through the lens of your own self. All of a sudden you don't like that guy. So here we go again. Watch this. Look, I did some of this on a Tuesday night. So I'm this one thing right here. So I'm going to do it again right now real quick. This is how you see yourself. Watch this. It affects your self-awareness. Now, self-awareness doesn't mean necessarily I'm in church today. I'm aware I'm in church today. But self-awareness is, watch this. Where am I at in life? Self-awareness. When I was 20 years old, you know, then I was married. And when I was 20 years old, I was thinking about kids and all that. You know, when I was 20 years old, when I was 17 years old, I could care less about having a family, could care less because I didn't even think about that. But as each step went along the way, after we had DC, all of a sudden my self-awareness changed. Now I'm a father. I've got somebody dependent on me. I got to watch it. You know, just like the other day, Bethany just popped me right in the mouth. She don't even know how she did it. I'm going to tell her right now. You didn't literally pop me in the mouth, girl. She looked at me like, what? I was talking junk about something. And I said, and I just, as normal, like we always do, whatever the little, it was a little bitty thing too. I said, that thing right there is going to put me in the grave. And Bethany said, don't do that, Dad. I really need you right now. You're snared by the words of your own mouth. And there I was. I actually was just doing something. Actually, I didn't mean it was going to actually kill me, but it sounded like I meant it was going to kill me. And it was something silly. And so again, you know, Beth said, Dad, please, I need you right now. Do not do anything to harm yourself. And I thought about the thing, and then I said, you know what? I got to watch what I talk around her because I don't want to feel like, you know, that she's not going to have me here. So here it goes. Your self-awareness. Where am I? Let me ask you a question. Where are you at today? Think about it. Where are you at? Are you in a good place? Are you in a safe place? I'm not talking about every Christian church. And here you're in a good place and a safe place. I'm talking about in your life. Where are you? Are you in a good place? Are you in a safe place? Do you have safety around you, but you can't see the safe because all you can see is the one little bad? Am I gonna focus on the little hole in the road, or am I gonna focus on the beautiful scenery around me? Where you at? Number two, self-esteem. Who am I? We fight, every last one of us fight these all the time. I tried my best to push my boys and push Bethany, push my boys and Bethany. I pushed them and pushed them and pushed them and kept telling them how good they were. And I didn't give them false stuff. I gave them the real stuff. I mean, I made sure that they really had to show themselves, not just, I can do anything, Dad, and didn't do anything. This was not just show up and get a trophy. They got the trophy when they did what they were supposed to do. But now, all their life, they heard this. Where am I? Who am I? And self-worth. Am I good enough? It's all in your heart. Because I can tell you, once you figure out where you are, and then once you figure out, hey, I'm a child of God. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a pastor. I'm a counselor. I'm a college student. But I'm also a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I can handle all things through Christ which strengthens me. Because I'm a child of God, I'm up to anything that comes against me. Because I'm a child of God! Satan will attack, but Satan will lose. Am I good enough? That's your number one question. Some of y'all in here, that's your number one question every day. Am I good enough? You ain't got to raise your hand. Please don't. Number one question is, am I good enough? Guess what? On my own, I'm not. Y'all remember Easter? This is everybody come up and put their I am guilty as charged, their sins, up on this cross. Because of this cross, I'm good enough. It's not what I've done, it's what He's done. Amen? So now, I know I told y'all I got to be careful on these five. I'm not sure I get through the five today. We got plenty of time, though. Ready? So y'all going, please hurry. Once I figure out where I am, who I am, and I am good enough, what it does is, what I figure out, whether good, bad, or ugly, it establishes the foundation of all your relationships. So if you don't know who you are, you don't know if you're good enough, you don't know where you are, then that's going to affect every relationship you're in. Because now I don't know how, I can't give myself to anything because I don't know where I belong. I don't have an anchor. I don't have a footing. So many people in this world, especially this day and time, they have a problem with commitment. And the reason they have a problem with commitment is because they don't know where they are. They don't know who they are and they don't think they're good enough. And so they won't commit. Once you realize you're a child of God, you can handle all things through Him and that you're not a mistake. You're not a burden. That God's got you in here for a special purpose, special time. You're here today because of something. God's got you in the palm of His hand. And He says, no man will snatch it out. All right? So now, whether you see the cup as half full or half empty, it's going to transfer on every other relationship. Years ago, I used to say the cup was half empty. Then I said the cup was half full. I got a better one now. The cup needs some water. and I got the water. Amen. So again, this is just, look, for as he thinketh in his heart, so we'll see. Principle number one, you see people through your own eyes. If that person's aggravating you, sometimes it's because something in them that you don't like about, well, get ready. I'm throwing one more out there. Sometimes, all the time, people are mirrors. And while you know, have you noticed? I never noticed how many Chrysler Sebrings were out there on the road until I started driving one. I thought there were like two or three out there. Now I see one every third car. When I was driving a Toyota, I didn't realize how many Camrys were out there until I started driving a Toyota. I didn't realize how many Camrys were the color mine was, and I can't even tell you what color it is, but the other ones look like it. When people get before you and a trait pops out of them that automatically, subconsciously registers in you that they are doing something that you do, and maybe you didn't realize you didn't like it in your own self, when you see it in them, it makes you aggravated. Maybe, just maybe, it would help to go look in the mirror, in the bathroom, go look in the mirror, especially if nobody's around so they won't think you're a fruitcake. And say, God, what I was looking at with that person was a mirror. Help me to change me first. All right? Good stuff. Isn't that good stuff? Isn't this good stuff? Okay. Three people said it was. The rest of you, wait, they got me back by there. No, please. I did it one time. I said, Brother Tom, will you wake up? Brother Smith, he said, I ain't going to do it. You put him to sleep, you wake him up. Okay, here we go. Principle number two. Watch this. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove a mountain, but have not love, I'm nothing. Watch this. Principle number two. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I can do all this stuff. I can understand all things. I mean, I can understand whatever problem you got. I can throw it out there. But until you show me you care about me, you're just, I just hear a bunch of noise. I remember watching one time on Frasier. They were calling Eddie, little Eddie, and talking to Eddie, or his dad's talking to Eddie. And they're trying to get Eddie to do something. And all Eddie heard was, blah, 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 Eddie. Blah, 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 Eddie. Because he didn't understand the rest of the words. Blah, 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 Eddie. And they said, I don't understand why Eddie's not doing it. Because all he's hearing is, blah, 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 Eddie. And so when he goes to his two psychiatrist sons who explain it to him, they start explaining what's going on through this big old psychological terms. And now you hear, blah, 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 dad. Blah, 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 dad. Blah, 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 dad. When you go to people, and you think you're the answer man. You go to people and think you know it, and you're just ready to spew out that knowledge. Have you ever noticed sometimes people just shut you down before you ever open your mouth to it? They want to hear what you got to say. It's not because, listen, it's not because they don't want to know what you know. It's because they don't feel that you care. Wow. Banzai. If I know you care, even if I don't have necessarily agree with you, I'll listen to you because I know you care, and you don't do it because you care for me. If you walk around like you're God's gift to the world and you ain't got time, you're going to stop just long enough for me to touch the hem of your garment, you're going to keep on moving? I ain't got time for that. Don't waste my time with that. If I know you care, I'm going to listen. That's how a lot of people are, and you wonder why people don't want to listen to you. Sometimes it is because your breath stinks. Sometimes it's because they don't feel that you care. You just want to show them how much knowledge you got. You see, if you care, you're not telling them because you want to help them. You're telling them because you just want to show off what you know. All right? So here we go. I'm almost through. We got five. This is number two, so we're getting close. I'm going to give you another little trigger. Ready? Get ready. Caring about people is not automatic. It's not. And I'm going to tell you another little trick. Not everyone cares. Amen? Look at that. Caring about everybody is not automatic. Not everybody cares. We can't learn to care. It's not a skill. We can learn to be a caregiver. There's a lot of caregivers. Have you ever gone to the nursing home and seen a caregiver that cared and a caregiver that didn't? Have you even gone to the hospital and seen a caregiver that cared and a caregiver that didn't? Go to a doctor's office and see a doctor, a caregiver that care, that does can give you care, but they don't care. Have you ever seen that? What do you feel like? They don't care. They're just here trying to show me something, trying to get me out of here. You know, I saw a person one time. They were told in the doctor's office, they said, "Look, we need you to go home and write down all the things." They were having some major problems in some of their skeletal system. And so they were told, "I want you to go home and write them all down, come back, and we're going to address them one by one by one because we got to figure out what this problem is so you can walk again." And so they walked into the doctor's office, and the doctor came in and said, "Now, talk to me." And so the person pulled out the piece of paper and had like five items on it to talk about the skeletal system, just like the doctor said. But it was the doctor, not his physician's assistant. Physician's assistant went there. Now, the physician's assistant looks at it and says, "Look at the piece of paper, so what am I supposed to do with this?" They said, "Well, y'all told me to write this all down and bring it to you because you were going to address each one so you can find out why this chronic problem is not being addressed, fixed, because it's not being addressed properly. We're treating symptoms, not the disease." And the physician assistant took it and threw it back and said, "I ain't got time for this. This is a 5-minute visit or 15-minute visit, whatever it was." Says, "So let me just give you something for pain, and sometime later we can talk about it." That person changed doctors the next day because she was following the doctor's orders. And then when she got there, they really didn't. Wow. People got to know you care. Okay? They've got to know these. So I can't teach you to care. I can teach you how to give care, but I can't teach you to care. That's from the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? That's a gift from God, all right? So now watch this. But you can decide, I'm going to care. And if I decide I'm going to care, then God will do it. Watch this. Matter of fact, I ask God this all the time. God, help me be more caring. Especially to somebody that I really, really rather not be around, or somebody I really don't have a lot of likes. I'm not talking about somebody I see things in them, I'm not talking about that. Sometimes there's just people that you don't necessarily want to be around. They're not your best buds. You know, they have different interests. You know, and you don't have that same kind of interest, so you don't really spend a lot of time together. But when I'm with them, I'll say, "God, help me be more caring to this person. This person needs to know that I care in order that I can give care." Remember, you can give all the care you want, but they're not going to receive that care until they know you care. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Awesome stuff. Matter of fact, you know what I was going to preach on this week? Was the second coming of Christ. And the Lord hit me with this a few days ago. And I said, "Well, you can preach on the second coming after you preach on this." So, all right, here we go. Maybe it's getting you ready for the second coming. How about that? Principle number 3. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In other words, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. You ever notice all this stuff He gives us spares? Okay, so the ear goes out, you got to know. When this eye goes out, you got to know. When this hand goes out, you got to know. When He gave us 1 mouth. I get more trouble with that mouth than anything. My eyes, my hands, anything. That mouth, okay? So, watch this. Now, principle number 3. This is good stuff. Believe it or not, it'll make you grow. Matter of fact, this is like that stuff, miracle grow. This will make you grow fast. So, principle number 3, learn to listen from your heart. Here's one of the hardest things that I had to learn, and I still have to catch myself. And the people that I'm in close relationship, I tell them, if you feel that I'm not doing this, you stop me and tell me, because I will readjust, because I do not want you feeling that I'm not listening to what you're saying. So now watch this. Watch. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're like this? Like a bulldog on the chain, and they don't really want to hear what you got to say. They just want you to give them, they want waiting for you to go, so they can jump in. Okay, so watch this. Watch. One of the greatest gifts you can give somebody is to truly listen to them. Did you know that? Now, there's two ways we can have a conversation. Two ways. And when I find myself in this position, I even ask people, please tell me if you feel like I'm doing this. And I have. So watch. You can listen to understand or listen to respond. If I'm listening to understand, watch this. I lean forward. I got my eyes on them. If it's appropriate, I got my hand on appropriate. I got my hand on them, on their hand or my hand on their shoulder. And I make facial expressions. It's called active listening. And I just let them know, you know, and I'm saying, tell me more. And then I repeat back to them what they've told me so they know I'm listening. Oh, so you're saying you're having a hard time with this? Well, tell me why. And you said this. Well, let's talk about this. You know, and I'm listening. That's listening and understand. You know, there's a lot of people who don't do that. Again, they're like the bulldog on the chain. Go ahead. Say what you got to say. Get out of my way because I got something to say. Before you even tell me the problem, I've already got the answer. If you're going to tell a joke, I'm going to pop the punchline on you. If you're going to do something else, I'm going to do this. I can't stand for you to keep talking. Look, I got to talk. You know why? Because I'm not listening to understand. I'm listening to respond. Now, when you start doing that, guess what else you do? You shut down communication. People quit talking. Why am I going to talk if you ain't going to listen? Every time I talk to you, if all you're going to do is, before I can even finish my sentence, you finish my sentence for me, and then you start telling me all this stuff, and I never get a chance to even tell you how I really felt. You know, it's like the pastor that was doing the funeral for one of his best friends. And while he's doing the funeral for the best friend, he says, I know it happened so abruptly. I know everybody, they weren't expecting this. And I know it's a big shock to everybody. He says, it's a shock to me because we've been friends for a long time. He said, I was right there in intensive care with him when he died. Matter of fact, I was wearing this suit. And he said, you know what? He gave me a note just before he died. It's an intimate moment. I want to share it with all of y'all. So he pulls it up and it says, Pastor, get off my oxygen. I can't breathe. You're standing on the oxygen, Pastor. Get off. Okay. You see, he weren't listening to understand. He was listening to respond. All right? So now, watch. Listening to understand communicates value. If you want somebody to really feel like you really care about them, listen to understand. Because when you do that, you're giving them a gift. You give them a very powerful gift. Because remember, people's self-esteem, self-worth, and self-awareness is all at stake. And you help build that, or you can help tear that down by if you're listening to understand, or you just want them to throw out two or three words and shut up so I can talk. Then there's all those people. There's other people that you get around, and they just crowd the whole conversation about them. And then they go, look, enough of me talking about me. You talk about me for a little while. Okay. It requires listening from the heart, and you make a level at the soul connection. That's why David and Jonathan were so close, because they talked to each other. They were, you know, that's why if a husband and wife were really close, it's because they talk to each other. They connect. They listen to understand. They don't listen to respond. I challenge you today, before this day's over with, you don't have to call them all up on the phone and tell them, but you, every time you get around, from here on out, you get around, especially when you're close people, like your family members or your wife or your husband or whoever, you tell them, look, I'm trying my best to learn to listen to understand. And if you have, at any time, I want to give you the gift of listening. Oh, God. Fellas, that puts you right at the front of the list, okay, with your wife. That puts you at the top. I want to give you the gift of listening. Wow. You could give her a diamond ring, you could give her candy, you can give whatever, but you know what? That means nothing compared to, I want to give you the gift of listening. And so, here's what I'm telling you to do. If ever we're having a conversation and you don't feel like I am listening, please tell me so I can make adjustments, because I don't want you to feel like I've already given you the gift, and as you're opening up the present, I don't want you to open it up and it's not going to be there, an empty box. All right? So now, look, we're getting close. Look, your communication, or you communicate empathy, interest, and desire to be helpful far more by listening by your word than by your words. There's been many a time, I didn't know what to say. So I just stayed there with them. just stayed. Cried with them. Laughed with them. Later on, I hear, get a card in the mail or something that says, you knew exactly what to say, Pastor. Thank you so much. I didn't say anything. The connection was made here, not here. Very important communication. Principle number three. I told you if I'd gone 10, we'd be here for quite a while. All right. Love bears, I should have put love up there, but it's a continuation of the other one. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So, watch this. Here's a hard one. Believing the best in people usually brings out the best in people. If I think you're a big old mess up, and I let you know that by my actions and or by my words, then you're going to be a big old mess up. But if I tell you you're worth something, that you're something, that you got gifts, that God is just hit the tip of the iceberg. You know, I've gone through Walmart and made it a very, very, very special thing to do with these guys that are putting up the stock. Bethany told me they don't get paid hardly anything. They're out there all those hours. And I see them out there working, and I heard one guy say, I was sitting there getting coffee, and I was trying to figure out which one the coffee was at. And I was there just long enough to hear the conversation. And one of the guys says, we don't get paid enough to be out here. He says, I don't know why I'm even out here. And he said, you know, I really want to do something else, but this is all I can do right now because I haven't gone to college, blah, blah, blah. And you know, so I'm kind of stuck. So I'm going to just give them 8 hours, and they better be glad they're getting 8 hours. And you know me, I don't like to butt in. And so I pulled the guy to me. I put my arm around him. I mean, he's thinking, who's this guy? I said, can I tell you how to get ahead in this company? Maybe not become a manager, but you might become a manager this way, but you one thing, it'll lead you to a better job. He said, what's that? I said, I didn't mean to hear your conversation, but you were talking so loud. And I mean, I was down from here to there from him. That's how loud he was. I said, and you're miserable. He said, yes, I am. They don't pay me enough, blah, 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 blah. I said, part of this is Walmart's fault. The other part of this is your fault. I said, honestly, if I was your boss man and heard you talking like this, I'd come by, I'd probably fire you. I said, go get you another job somewhere if you can't like this. Or you're going to give me 8 hours if I'm lucky. To find you one. I'm going to set you free, little one. He said, excuse me. I said, but you know what? If I come out and heard you say, you know what? This might not be the best job in the world, but thank God I've got this job. Because I got friends that don't have a job. And I sit back and say, you know what? This is not necessarily where I want to end up at, but I'm looking for right now. I'm not looking down the road right now. This is providing me with my money, and it's providing me spending money, and I'm going to get an opportunity to learn. And I'll meet all these people, and I go to all this training. And you know what? This might not be where I want to be, but this is a good start. And I thank God for it. He went, wow. I said, you think you can try that? He said, yeah, that sure sounds a whole lot better. I said, guess what? I guarantee it. I'll put a guarantee. I'll sign it and guarantee it to you. I said, you start talking like that, your actions will start acting like that. Because you're going to start acting yourself into what you just said. And so as you start acting that way, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start getting raises. He said, raises? I said, yeah. I said, it's worked everywhere I went. I said, it worked with my boys everywhere they went. It works. Do it. He goes, I think I will. Next time I come by, he was going, look, he was whistling and putting stuff up on the shelf and going, hey, man, y'all tighten up. This is so awesome. Come on, we can do better than that. We got this going on. I said, all by my went. And then, of course, there were some guys. One guy come by, and he was up on the ladder. And I said, oh, I see you climbing the corporate ladder. He looked down and said, yeah, right. Ha, 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 ha. I said, well, I don't leave him thinking I'm trying to be a smart aleck. So I come by every time I see. I look for him specifically when I come in the store. And I specifically try to find something positive and nice and funny to say to him. And what I found out is I don't have to seek him out in the store anymore. When he sees me, he seeks me. And I'll tell this guy something like, you know, one guy was really down one day. He was really, really down. And he was putting it up. And I walked past him and I said, "Why are you looking down?" He said, "I just don't know." And I said, "Don't you know inside of you is a lion? It's a beast. So inside of you is a king. Aren't you a child of God?" He said, "I'm a child of God." I said, "Inside of you is a king." He said, "So why are you letting this get you down?" I said, "Matter of fact, this is just a training ground. There's going to be a time where you're going to take other people and you're going to train them, and it's going to be awesome. You're going to grow. There's a champion inside of you." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." And now every time I see him, he comes in. He makes sure he walks over to me. And he does that. And I always tell him this: when you grow up, I want to be just like you. Think about it. All right. So now, listen. I know this is longer than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like a 10-minute sermon. Of course, I've never had a 10-minute sermon except for at Easter. What you look for in anybody, you'll find. If I want to look for understanding in you, I'll find it. If I want to look for hatred in you, I'll find it. Whatever I'm looking for in you, I'll find it. So if I go with a preconceived idea and I've already got in my mind, you're a nothing, nobody, you're a troublemaker, then I'm going to look for troublemaker. If I go inside of you and you are a troublemaker, but I know there's something good inside of you, I'll find what's good inside of you. So again, you'll find what you look for in people. I'm going to hurry this up. Let me tell you this. We're all flawed. We're all imperfect. Anybody here perfect? Raise your hand. No. Amen. I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. Then I say, and then we're going to pray for those that have the problem of lying. Okay. When someone calls out the best, I found this out at Fountain. Not only did I find this out at Fountain, my wife taught me this even stronger. DC's mom was teaching sixth grade, and there was a boy in there that had been pushed through every year. Never made above 60s. And they were not going to give him they don't have to give you a graduation diploma now. They can just give you a certificate. You went to school 12 years. And they were just pushing him through. And then when it come to her, she taught him math and science. And they said, "Just push him through. Everybody else does. He's not going to listen, blah, blah, blah." And Beverly looked at him one day, and she listened to him. And she found out he was hurting. And this is going to lead into my next one. And she found out he was hurting. And when she found out he was hurting, I'm going the wrong way. Praise God. Get back over here. The other way. Principle number four. Thank you. I hate it when that little man in there ain't listening. She started loving that boy. She's loving him. He came to her table to talk to her, and she'd lean over and do the active listening. And sometimes she put her hand on his hand and said, "You know, you can do this." And she just kept loving him and loving him. By the end of the year, that guy was making A's and B's in his class. They never made above 60s. But she called out the best in him. She kept saying, "You can do this. I know you can. I know you've had a rough start, but you got a great time now. I know things don't look good now, but look what's coming." And she called out the best in him. Called out the best. At the end of the year, they come to her and say, "How come he's making A's and B's in your class, nobody else?" And she said, "Y'all think about that. Y'all are trying to push him through, and I'm trying to push him up." It's a big deal. Okay, so now, look. Here it goes, principle number five. And I'm getting ready to close, I promise. If I don't close now, y'all can just, you know, give me a raspberry or something. Ready? This is the one I really seen bad, especially this day and time. Hurting people hurt people. Did you know that? How can I tell when a hurting person is hurting somebody? How can I tell when things are going, this is bad in PTSD, this is very bad in PTSD. But not just PTSD, there's also another thing too. And watch this. When the response to a problem is greater than the issue at hand, the real issue is always something else. Hurting people hurt people. So I knock over, I remember it was a couple regarding Henry, and Harrison Ford was a high-powered lawyer, and his daughter knocked over a glass of water. He just jumped all over her and punished her and all this. And after he got shot in the head, they had to help him start all over again. Now he's a gentle fella, very gentle, and he's also actually an awesome fella now. And his daughter knocked over a cup of water, and she went, he said, "Really?" He looked over his water, and he just knocked his over too. You see, hurting people hurt people. Remember, if you just did something minor like turn over a glass of water and they act like you just shot somebody, you're not the problem. That glass of water is not the problem. The real problem is in them. They're hurting. They're dealing. And you're just the last straw. That's it. They may come on you like a ton of bricks. They may beat you all to pieces. But just remember, watch this. I'm going to tell you something. This is what you got to watch out for yourself. If I'm already hurting, I got to be careful how I talk to other people, because I can get all upset over the minor stuff and get major upset over minor stuff. And watch this. As I tell you, if you see major upset over minor stuff, get ready. They're hurting. So instead of me just getting mad and blowing all up, here's what I can do. I need to try to help get to the real issue. If it's possible, if I can get to it, even if I can't get to it, at least know there is another issue. Watch this. Believe it or not, people who are hurting don't want to hurt other people. I wrote it all the way down there so you can see it. But it's like that lion with a thorn in his paw. Can't help it. That person's hurting. And so the minor stuff is major. It's like PTSD. Everybody's on PTSD, they're on quick response, they're at high emotional level, they got high adrenaline flowing all the time, and the PTSD could be called by car over here by a car accident or a molestation or whatever. But then you get overseas because you've been in a shootout, you may have got shot, and then you get over here and somebody spills a glass of water, and now, you know, I remember one day Daniel told me, Daniel was upset because our neighbor's dog, a pit bull, got out. And Daniel went to get in his truck. He went to get in his truck out of nowhere. Come up that boxer right up under his, from under the truck, and grabbed the back of his leg. Daniel turned around and shot at it. I said, "Daniel, what's going on?" He said, "Daddy," and that thing grabbed my leg. He said, for a split second, I was back in the streets of Kabul. And the Taliban was coming. Dog. They weren't even trying to bite him. I think he was playing with him. The Taliban. Getting drift. Some of y'all are beating people up and they ain't done a thing to you. You go back to Kabul and you're on a possum track. It ain't the Taliban. It's a dog. Ask God first to help you with that. And number two, if you see somebody else the same way, realize there's something deeper there. You've got to figure out what this is. Watch this. Instead of me attacking back, if I can help pull that thorn out, then I'll help them live better. But not only that, but I'll live better, especially with that person. I have discovered over the years that a lot of people that other people didn't want to be around because they were always hurting people, they just avoided them or hit back when all they should have done was stop and try to figure out or help them, love them back in and show them, hey, there is a better way. What's going on? Tell me. And eventually, it might happen overnight, but eventually you can work this thing out. And it's amazing what happens. Everybody's like this. So for the first five principles, I'm going to call them out. And if you want a copy of this, I'll make sure you get a copy of this. Number one, we see people through our own lens. As a man sees in his heart, or has his anxious heart, there he is. Number two, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Some of us were sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal and don't even realize it. Number three, listen from the heart. The greatest gift you can give anybody is to listen. Listen to understand, not to respond. Principle number four, believe in the best in people usually brings out the best in people. Principle number five, hurting people hurt people. Think about this. It's a very powerful thing. DC, come on up here. Very powerful thing. I just want a jumpy, shouty, ready to run down the aisle sweating holy sweat. But this one here is down to earth and will help you communicate better and help you every relationship you got. Every one of them. Every one of them. God's got this. I was sitting in the house looking over in the chair at Bethany. Bethany was hurting. And I noticed Bethany was trying to get right. And she was sleepy and she was trying to get right to adjust because the cancer was in her back and in her bones and in everywhere. And so she's trying to get right. And while she's getting right, I'm watching her and my heart's breaking. I'm working on my sermon. And at the same time, I did, this is my own poison. Y'all didn't do this to me. But I did two essays and four responses and started working on my final project, essay, thesis. So I'm doing this work, and I worked till like 12 o'clock. And every now and then, Bethany would pop back in my head. And I'd say, Lord, she's yours. I'm going to be here. I'll do whatever I can. She ain't got to ever wonder. She reached her hand out. The letter wrote to Emmaus and said, whenever you reach out, I'll be right there. She ain't got to worry about that. But then I got to the part of hurting people hurt people. And I thought about Bethany. And I thought about me. Bethany's hurting physically and emotionally. I'm just hurting emotionally. But I thought about that. And while I was working this, while I was doing the sermon, I'm writing the sermon. While I'm writing those papers, I'm writing all those papers, and I'm just a typing away, typing, typing, typing. And it was wild because the subject in sociology has to deal with health care and taking care of people. So I'm writing stuff. I'm trying not to get angry, and I'm trying to, you know, go through it all. And Lord just spoke to me and said, son, have you purged your heart today? And I said, excuse me, sir. Purged my heart. Never can remember hearing that one. I really didn't. Purged my heart. He spoke to me and said, it's broken. And it's full of a lot of things. You let the list get too long. You can't think. Purge it. Give it to me right now and leave it alone. I did. Wrote two more papers after that. I'm still working on the sermon for this morning. But working on it after I purged my heart and working on it before I purged my heart was two different things. Right now, at this altar, I'm going to challenge you. You can do it at your seat. Matter of fact, we'll do it at our seat and then you can come to the altar if you want to. I want everybody to stand. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands. Don't look at anybody. I don't want you to tell him. You can tell him out loud. You can tell him to yourself. It don't matter. But we're going to get real this morning. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, I'm carrying too much stuff in my heart and in my head. I'm hurting in areas that only you know about. I need you more than I even know. I'm going to purge my heart right now. Lord, I give my pain, I give my hurt, I give the heaviness, I give all the frustration to you right now. I refuse to carry this burden out this door. It's yours. Purge my heart. Purge my mind. Help me today to have a fresh perspective of everything I'm going through. And help me in every relationship that I'm in. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for that. Amen. Just give the Lord a hand clap. Now the altars are open. If you have to come up and pray for anything, come on. You're welcome to come pray for anything. You just want to talk to the Lord. But you remember, you want to write down your Bible. Write it in your Bible if you write in your Bible. If you don't, write it on the bulletin. Today, April 22nd, I purged my heart in Everett Christian Church. Another thing I didn't even think about until I just looked down. Every year, in July, in April, and at Christmas time, I feel a heaviness. In 1987, my mother died at Christmas. In 2001, my wife died at Christmas. And whether I know it or not, when I hit around those days, whether I subconsciously, not even realize it, when I hit around those days, one died on the 16th, one died on the 20th, one was buried on the 20th, one was buried on the 23rd. Those days, I always feel that heaviness because that day was a major, played a major role in my psyche. My mother's birthday is today. She would have been 77, 78 today. But instead, she died at 57. So, that does it. July 10th, Beverly was born. Every time I go on July 10th, I think about that too without even thinking about it. So, y'all think about these things while you're purging your heart. God, help me get through these things. Help me get beyond these. But on April 22nd, I purged my heart. I gave it to you, Lord, and I'm not taking it back. In the name of Jesus. Y'all come up here. I got to pray. Come on up. The altars are still open. Pray for anything you want to pray for. God is so good. He's so good to all of us. Better than we deserve. Come on Tuesday night, we're talking about purpose. It's a very powerful study because there's two men in the world history that were destined to change the world. Both guys thought they were doing God a favor. Both were trained in biblical principles. Both were trained to be a priest. Both had it going on. Very powerful. One went one way, one went the other. One was the Apostle Paul, another was Adolf Hitler. Paul killed Christians, Hitler killed Jews. Paul went on the road to Damascus and wound up building. Hitler, just like Judas, went his own way and wound up tearing and destroying. But come on out, I keep throwing back and forth stuff about them. Remember, 1938, Hitler was Time Magazine Man of the Year. Did you know that? Wow. Wow. Again, it's amazing what happened. So come on out Tuesday nights, and we talked about some pitfalls last week, and we're going to talk about a few more pitfalls this week. But come on, you'll enjoy it. Plus, we get cake and ice cream. Not ice cream. I'll tell you, ice cream. Y'all come look. Where's the ice cream at? Okay, I tell you what, we can have cake and ice cream if you bring ice cream, because we got cake. All right? He ain't got good. All the time. Oh, I love him. He's powerful. Brother Wayne, we just missed us in prayer, please. Absolutely.